Father, we love you because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation of the Spirit of God and the understanding that when he moves, he can bring change. We saw the Spirit of God moving in the beginning over the deeps, and we saw things began to happen. I pray the Spirit of God will move over this room, this platform today, and bring a wave of conviction and to the hearts of men. Praise the Lord. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding. Give the Lord the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want you to be prepared today to engage. That's right. You know, I will be talking about salvation and ministering salvation to people today. What does it all mean? And I'll be looking for, be asking you for your testimony before this is all over. So be prepared to give your testimony. And but first, let's talk about it. Today's lesson is on salvation. Ye must be born again by the Spirit of God. I'm going to read John chapter 3, read through several verses there, and use that as our scripture reading today. Praise the Lord. And we're going to examine this text in line of today's lesson. Praise the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, if you are not somewhere where you can read, then follow along and just listen. I'm reading from, of course, the King James. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, why did the man come by night? We're not told why, but your guess is as good as mine. Being that he was a ruler of the Jews, and knowing how that the Jews typically, you know, were always contrary to Jesus, Jesus himself rebuked many of the practices of their leaders, and this one was one of their leaders, so he probably snuck around in the night, not wanting to be seen, that's my guess, and he came to Jesus, acknowledging him as a rabbi and teacher from God, saying, well, we know that no one can do these things that you do except God be with you. And Jesus cut through the chase right away. He said to him, well, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. I mean, he just went straight to the heart of the thing. You know, no, you know, beating around the bush or anything like that. You know, except a man be born again. Now, we're hearing that concept here, like that, in those exact words, for the first time. And this man himself, I mean, he's a ruler of the Jews. He's a leader in the Jewish religion. This man himself is wondering, what kind of meaning is this? I mean, so Nicodemus answered and said, how can a man be born when he is old? Whoever heard of such a thing? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, these are legitimate questions. Because, I mean, Jesus is saying, you got to be born again. So Jesus answered the man, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Well, as the second time, he's talking about the kingdom of God and relating the new birth as the entrance into it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we're going to be talking about this birth of the Spirit today. "Marvel not," he said, "that I said unto you, ye must be born again." So that's where this text comes from. Ye must. It's a must. Be born again. Jesus said it himself. There's no question about it. It's not a suggestion. Put it out there. You must be born again. That's it. But he said, "Look, I know that you have questions in your mind, but you got to be born again." And he's going to explain some characteristics of somebody that is born of the Spirit. And this new birth is about being born of the Spirit, not being born of a woman, but being born of the Spirit. The Spirit meaning the Spirit of God. Now, "The wind," he said, "blows where it listeth." In other words, wherever it wants. "And thou hearest the sound of it, but you really can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going." Yeah, you can't do it. You just see and you hear the sound and you see the effect of the wind, but you don't know where it started. You don't know where it's going to end. I mean, even the rain just blows past you, blows all the leaves and dust and everything. You see everything just moving in its tracks. And sometimes people have experienced some serious winds, you know. Yeah, get some, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes and different things can just seem like they blow everything away. Well, Jesus said when the wind, even the gentle wind, not necessarily the terrible destructive ones, even the gentle winds, when they blow like that, you're out and you see just blowing everything. Let's say on a day where there's a gathering storm and the wind is blowing, not really a very serious wind, but still blowing, you can see blowing things. Jesus said, you can't really tell where the origin of that wind, and you don't know where it's going to end. Might blow past your house, might blow to some other places. You don't know. But you, when it blows, you see it. You hear it, the whistling sound and different things like that. But you don't really know where it's coming from, where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That is a powerful statement. And I'm going to tell you a testimony around this. Powerful, powerful statement. I think I might have been around 19 years of age or so when I first discovered this scripture. I guess my age, because I know where I was. You know, so I guess the age around that time. But the moment I discovered this scripture, you know, I began to say, wow, that really means nobody can divine my life. You know how diviners look into the crystal ball or, you know, try to look into this and that. You can't really, I mean, if you're born of the Spirit, this is what came to me as a young man. Now, I understand it much better now. But as a young man then, I said, well, I mean, it means if I'm born of the Spirit, nobody can tell my origin or where I'm going. I tell my future. You cannot discern my future. You know, and I used to hear about, you know, people who gaze into crystal balls, people who read palms, palm readers and different things. I have never subjected myself to a palm reader, neither should any child of God. Because number one, they can't tell where you're going, can't tell where you're coming from. And if you do submit, then all of a sudden they have power over you and cast a spell over your life. You know, and it never ends well for people that submit to those things. You know, because now you brought yourself under their power, whereas they would have had no power whatsoever. You know, once I understood that, from that point in time, it never bothered me. You know, if somebody was trying to say something negative, you know, that would lie in my future. It was like, you don't know where I'm going. You can't tell. There's no way you can. You know, you don't know where I'm coming from, and you don't know where I'm going. You cannot tell it. You know, so powerful statement. Anyway, Nicodemus said, well, how can these things be? I mean, this was just too much for him to figure out. And so Jesus said, look, art thou a master of Israel? I mean, you are a ruler in Israel. Israel are supposed to be religious people. And you don't know these things? Well, verily, verily, I say unto you. And throughout these lessons, Jesus is saying verily, verily many times to underscore the importance of what he's saying. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. You receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, such as being born, that's an earthly thing. I mean, everybody understands birth. I mean, we see it around us all the time. And I've told you those earthly things, and you don't believe. And you remember, Jesus always used earthly things in his messages, like this one here, birth, water, and so on. He would talk about corn of wheat. He would talk about bread, stone, fish, scorpion. He would talk about rain, a house, and all these things. I mean, we'll talk about a sower. He will always use natural words, leaven, fish, and all these things. We'll always use natural words to explain profound spiritual truths. It's a profound truth here. We're going to get into it a little more. But I want to read to the end of this text, you know, where I'm going with this, and then we'll talk about it more. If I've told you of earthly things and you don't believe, well, what are you going to do if I tell you of heavenly things? So now he's going to tell him of a heavenly thing. I just told you about earthly things. You don't understand it. You don't believe it. You say, how can it be? But what are you going to do then if I tell you of something heavenly? Well, here's one heavenly thing. You chew on this for a minute. He said, no man has ascended up to heaven. I was talking about heaven. Up to now, you know, he spoke about the Spirit of God, but he didn't really mention the word heaven. But now he's going to talk about heaven. No man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. I'm going to tell you of a heavenly thing now. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And this whole statement is about heaven now. But the Son of Man that's talking to Nicodemus is standing right here. And Jesus is saying the Son of Man is in heaven. Now that's a heavenly thing. I told you the earthly thing, you don't understand it. Well, let me tell you this heavenly thing and see if you can figure it out. Nobody, he said. Glory to God. As I ascended up to heaven. Well, you might say, well, where did Enoch go? Where did Elijah go? Where did all these people go? Different heavens. Someday we'll cover that. This place that Jesus is talking about, Jesus said, nobody. As I ascended there, and except he that came from there, even the Son of Man, standing right here talking to you, who is in that heaven. My goodness. You know, now, this is the conjunction, the super conjunction of heaven. There's a place called heaven, you know, that nobody has ascended to. Well, Jesus said it. But Jesus is saying, I'm standing right here talking to you and I'm in that place. How do you figure? Well, you know, he said, that's a heavenly thing. You couldn't understand the earthly thing. So that's one heavenly thing. See if you can understand that. Of course, the man was completely blown away. Couldn't figure it out. Until this day, most people cannot figure out how Jesus could be standing right there and talking to Nicodemus and saying the Son of Man, which we know that's the name he used to call, title he used to call himself, Son of Man, is in heaven. And he's standing right here talking to you about something earthly, but telling you the Son of Man is in heaven. Well, think about that for a minute. That's really who Jesus is. If you don't know that Jesus is in those multi-dimensions at the same time, the very Spirit of God that created, you know, the worlds, that formed different things, that Spirit was in Christ. God was in Christ, we're told, reconciling the world of himself. That Spirit is the very eternal God himself. That's why Jesus could stand here and saying, I'm in heaven. At the same time that he was standing right there. Well, if you don't understand that, then you're not going to be able to understand the rest of this lesson today. That salvation is by Christ alone. Let's make that clear. No religion can save anybody. You know, whether that religion is called Judaism, Islam, or even called Christianity. Because Jesus is not saving by religion. Religion, a lot of people are in religion, even people who are on this platform. Some people that are listening to me right now may be in religion. You know, but Jesus doesn't say, and religion can't save you. You got to be saved by the way that we are going to describe today. And when you are saved, you know it. You have a testimony. So, it's like being born. There was something, the day the child is born, everybody knows it. It's an event that happened. It's not something that somebody, maybe, or maybe not. And a woman is pregnant and she gives birth, she knows it. Everybody else knows it too. It's not like, there's a change. You can see that the woman was pregnant. Now she's born. I mean, she's giving birth. You can see, everybody can tell. You can see the baby too. So it's not, we don't guess about it. You don't think that maybe it happened, maybe not. You know. The same way, the new birth is something definite. Yeah? But it's also very spectacular. That must happen. Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, let's read the rest of it. He said, well, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, talking about his death. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. For God so loved the world. This is the one that everybody quotes or out of this conversation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the Son, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, we're now hearing about salvation. You know, up until this point, he's been talking about being born again. Now, he's talking now about salvation. In the same conversation, this born again thing, the kingdom of heaven, heavenly things, salvation, the Son of Man, the reason, someone, you know, part of the reason of his coming into the world, the effect of it. I mean, all of it is in this conversation. He said, well, he that believeth on that Son of Man is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already. Why? Well, because he hath not believed in the name. See, now he's talking about the name now. Up to this point, you know, I haven't talked about it, but now he's talking about it. You know, he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, this message, this conversation with Nicodemus carries the entire, it covers the entire spectrum of the gospel, the kingdom, everything. It's all there. Now, it says, there's a name, the only begotten Son of God. There's one name. See, and anybody that doesn't believe in that name is condemned already. Right there. It's also there. And what is the condemnation? Now, he's going to talk about light and darkness again. I mean, it's all, the message is all here in this short text. Come by light and darkness. He said, this is the condemnation. Because he said that they are condemned if they don't believe in the name of the Lord, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Now, what is the condemnation? He said, well, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men would rather have darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Now, he's going to talk about deeds right now. He has already spoken about many things. Being born again in order to enter in the kingdom. What being born again of the spirit means. How diviners cannot divine your mind and so forth, your life. He's talking about all of that. Now, he's talking about the gift of the Son of God into the world to bring salvation. Now, he's talking about those who reject him that are in condemnation. Talk about what that condemnation is, that they rejected the light. And this is the condemnation. Why did they reject that? Now, he's going to talk about their deeds. That's a full message. You know, people's deeds who are evil in their hearts, they also bring forth evil deeds. You know, he said, well, they will not come to the light because their deeds were evil. Otherwise, the light will shine and expose them. So they rather do their deeds in darkness. You know, a lot of evil works happen in darkness. A lot of evil things in the evil world go on in the hours of darkness. But he that doeth the truth, hallelujah, cometh to the light, so that his deeds might be made manifest. There's no need of hiding it. When people are doing bad things, they try to hide. You know, when you go around looking and the people could hide. I see this happening, you know, at church sometimes. Looking around, you know, at the young people, what are they doing? You know, when they see you coming, quickly put their phone away. Because the deeds, whatever they were doing was evil. Yeah, they were in the church. And so they quickly hide it. But if they had their Bible open and were reading the Bible, they wouldn't quickly put it away when you are coming. Yeah, because those are good deeds. You read the Bible in church. That's a good deed. They're on your phone doing some other thing that you shouldn't be doing. That's evil. So when somebody is coming around that's going to hold you accountable, you quickly hide it. You know, so their deeds are evil. They don't want to come to the light. But the deeds that are wrought in the goodness of the Lord, those come to the light that their deeds might be made manifest so that people will know that they were wrought in God. Beautiful text from top to bottom. But let's break it down. Let's start at the beginning of this, ye must be born again. And Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. You know it. In many of his messages, even in fact, he began to preach when he came out of the wilderness and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That, you know, that's how Matthew captured it more so. John focused more so on John the Baptist and so forth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, I mean, Matthew and Luke especially focused more on the beginnings of Christ. Mark jumped into some things quickly. And John, he dealt into more of the sayings of Christ. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, similarly in Luke, We see that when Jesus, after he was baptized, that's the other thing. After he was baptized, he went to be tempted of the wilderness of the devil and so forth. You know, after he come out of that place, you know, what was it that he was doing? You know, let's read it in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. This is the beginning of the ministry of Christ. He said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, and these were the first things that Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the beginning of his message. In this particular message of the kingdom of heaven being at hand and calling for repentance, which means you need to have a mindset shift, a change of your ways. And this particular place wasn't talking about being saved or being born again. He would explain that in that powerful message, that discussion he had with Nicodemus. But here, he's talking about the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God, he says, is at hand. Kingdom of God is just around the corner. Well, John the Baptist also, when he came, you know, saying the same thing, you know, and talking about those same things. And Jesus continued to talk about the kingdom of God. He would send his disciples out. He said, look, when you go out, you know, say the same things. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when Jesus was doing certain things in a certain place, in the book of Luke chapter 4, that one captures how he went into, you know, the synagogue and got the book of Isaiah and all of that stuff. And towards the end of it, we saw what happened. You know, he was doing miracles and the people were enjoying those miracles and they were trying, you know, to get him to stay. Now, when the sun was setting, Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, laid hands on them and healed them all. Also, many devils came out of many people crying and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. The devils knew who they were, who he was. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to make known who he was. And when he was there, he departed and went to a desert place, you know. He always tried to do that, to pray and get away from the people sometimes, you know, just recharge. And the people sought him and came unto him. Stayed him means they were trying to prevent him from leaving, that he should not depart from them. We're enjoying this thing. Stay with us. And Jesus answered them and said, no, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. It's not talking about salvation here. It's not talking about being born again. It's talking about the kingdom of God. But in the message where Jesus was revealing this subject of born again and being saved, light and darkness, your deeds and who Jesus was, and all these things, he would tie it back to the kingdom. This kingdom of God, you cannot enter into it except you're born again. When you are born of flesh, you are flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When you are born of spirit, you are spirit. Now, flesh, you'll be born of flesh, well, you're in the kingdom of man. You want to enter the kingdom, you got to be born again, Jesus said. The way Jesus said it to Nicodemus makes us to realize that the new birth experience is the gateway to the kingdom, or the doorway, or the portal. Because he said, except a man be born again, can't even see the kingdom. Again, he said, except you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. And then he said, you must be born again. So for you to enter this kingdom that he came preaching and sending his disciples to preach and all of that, you cannot get into it unless you're born again. You cannot get into it by going to church. You cannot get into it by coming to this platform every day. You can't. Now, it will get you close to it. But there is something you must do and something you must experience in order for you to be able to enter that kingdom. And from the moment you experience that thing, you are in that kingdom. Now, until you experience it, you are not in the kingdom. And what is that thing? It is that you must be born again. Let me say it to you this way. You must receive your BA degree. That's right. Here's a little testimony. This BA degree was the message I heard that brought me to salvation. The day was October 17, 1971. It was a beautiful day. Well, I was in high school, went to meeting somewhere, scriptural union meeting or whatever. I didn't know what it was all about, but, you know, hey, there's something about religion. So I went. Bringing that I had a religious background, my father, my mother, they taught us in the way of the Lord. I didn't know what all it meant, but I knew that, hey, you got to follow the things of God. You know, you got to get up in the morning, you got to pray, and you got to do these things. You got to fast. My father, when I was a little child, taught us how to fast. He also taught us that, you know, when significant things are coming in your life, you got to fast and pray. I knew all those things. I wasn't born again. You know, even when I went to the boarding school, or boarding house in those days, as soon as we entered, and every time when I came back in for the new semester after the vacation, come back in, I always started with a 3-day fast. I didn't know the Lord like I do now, but it was something, it was a practice. It was a religious practice that my dad taught me. You start things, you start your life with prayer, with fasting, you are seeking to do on a new adventure, a new thing in your life. You fast, you pray. He taught us all these things. And I always did it. It was a practice. That wasn't like a long 3-day fast, but it was like a daily 3-day fast. That's all I could do at the time. But I did it anyway, at the beginning of the semester. And I was doing all these things, you know, from the time I was in, we called it Form 1, the first year in those days. This year that I was telling you that I went to this meeting where I heard this message, I was in Form 5. So now that, by that time I was 17 years old. Now, all my life, I knew all this stuff, but I wasn't born again. So I went to this place, and there was a missionary there, and they came, and they said, well, all of us were students, so they spoke to us in a language which might appeal to students. See, that's again how you preach the gospel. Spoke to us in a language which might appeal to students. They say, how many of you would like to receive your BA degree today? I said, BA degree? I thought he was talking about Bachelor of Arts. I said, well, I can't receive that today. I still got many more years to go, you know. By that time, you're already thinking, what would you like to become when you graduate, when you go to college, all these things. You know, I'm already in my year 5, right? We're ready to take, at that time, we're getting close to taking this thing they called West African School Certificate Exam back in the day, you know. So we're getting close. It was October. We used to take those exams toward the end of the year back then. Not in June, but towards December back then. So I'm thinking, BA, how can you get a B? I'm not even close. And then as he began to preach, he preached this message that I'm telling you today on being born again. And the born again was the BA that he was talking about. And I was intrigued by it. I said, well, I thought he was going to talk about how I get my Bachelor of Arts degree. Well, I would not be interested in that anyway, because I was in the sciences line. And those of us who are in science were different than those who are in the arts line. You know, I kind of, even then, looked down on the arts. Arts? No, I want to do science. That was in my mind. But I said, this is interesting. When I listened to it, and then he talked about being born again. He said about this same thing that I'm talking about today. And at the end of this, you know, he gave out an invitation. If you'd like to be born again. I said, what? Well, why not? So, and then, you know, of course, you know, he taught us and told us something, things about the same thing I'm telling you today, that being born into your father's house, as, you know, into a religious setting, doesn't make you be born again. You have to experience it yourself. It's an individual thing. Can't inherit it from your father. I said, well, I want to be born again. So I went down, raised your hand, do whatever they told us to do, born again. I also say a prayer, say some things. Nothing happened that I could remember. And I turned around. I mean, the message was actually very powerful. Some of the people that came for the so quote unquote, which I will now later on in life call an altar call. You know, at that time, he didn't call it an altar call. Just say, hey, if you want to come to Christ, you want to give your life, you want to be born again, was focused on being born again. But then he told us something that stuck with me. He said, well, you must repent. And then you got to repent. Say, you cannot be born again if you don't repent. And then they, you know, they used to, in those days, from that point on, hammer two scriptures into our heads. Beginning from that day, one was Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved. You know, tell us that, look, it's not what you did. It's by faith. You know, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Tell us, hammer into our head on that day. Then the next one was 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creature. And then it was a tie this new creature thing to this born again. It can't be your own self. Something must change. Well, I looked for something to change. Nothing changed. I was still my old self. They said, look, old things are passing away. I looked around. I looked the same. Nothing changed. Some people around me were crying. I wasn't crying. I don't know what they were crying about. What are they crying about? There was some impact. The message was making their life. But I wasn't crying. But I'm like, I got to figure out this thing. This thing about, you know, salvation. So I want it. So they said, well, you must become a new creature. Now, back in those days, those messages about repentance and becoming a new creature was very important. They're always hammering in our head. You cannot continue in your old ways. You got to repent. That's the message of repentance. Repentance means you do a 180. You got to change your ways. He told us that. My goodness. And I said, well, I got to change my ways then. And later on, they would explain it, you know, how to get help from the Lord to change your ways and so forth. But they hammered it on our heads. Now, that's quite different from today's salvation messages that had dropped repentance. Now, people are just told today to give their life to Christ. What in the world does that mean? You know, say a few words and you are saved. You know, people are not being told that they must repent. You got to change your ways. And later on, they will tell us what repentance means and why we needed it, that our hearts are filled with the sin nature. And we got to repent so that God can change our heart. So what? You know? So, I'm telling it to you today. You might have been going to church. You might have been coming even to this message right here, to this platform every day. you must have a unique, a definite experience. It's not something you think. And I'm going to ask you for your testimony. Everybody that's in this room that claim to be a believer, you got to have a testimony. Now, some people may not know the exact day or the hour. Well, I do. And I remember it. I can tell you even things that happened that day. And to this day, I mark that day. And another special day, when I received the Holy Spirit, two different experiences in my life, I still mark those days. Those even mean more to me than my natural birth. And some of my family would know that. But you got to know that you had that experience. If I asked you, when were you born again? Sometimes when I meet people and I'm trying to lead them to Christ, and they tell me, I'm saved, or I'm a Christian, or they say whatever. I say, well, have you been born again? They say, well, you know, whatever. I say, when? Then they can't tell. They fumble around it. They don't know. And I know they're not born again. Because if you are born again, you know it. You may not remember the exact date like I do, but you know, because it was something that happened. You know, it's an experience. And a woman that gives birth cannot say, I don't know if I gave birth. You know, you know it. Something happened. There was a change. You know, now that change must be nurtured and developed later on. That's what we call that discipleship. Teaching people that's because there's going to be challenges to try to draw you back. You know, maybe in that time when I was saved, I was 17. You know, I mean, what's a 17 young man want to do? Think about girls. That's all you do. And talk about these things. But thank God, I never really did it. You know, so I thank God for that. But, and we always talk about in the dorm and try to go to, you know, parties and all this stuff and so on. But something happened. After that born again experience, and they asked us to pray, and we were there for several minutes. Just told us to pray and pour our heart out and repent. You know, I realized, got up from that prayer. Many people are crying. I wasn't. But something happened. There was all of a sudden no desire for those things. I mean, and then after a while, people talk about saying, no, I don't want to talk about that. And they begin to see a difference. I didn't go anymore to the parties. I didn't do any more of those things. I just didn't, it just all of a sudden, there was no liking of those things. It just didn't mean anything. Now, but I thank God that God preserved me. Even when I didn't know, God preserved me that I didn't go into many of those things, only just talked about it. So I thank God for that. But then, you know, immediately, there was no desire. Now, I thank God also because of the way I was raised. I wasn't exactly into too many things. I wasn't into women or girls and all that stuff. I wasn't into drinking, smoking, and none of that. Never did. Never smoked a cigarette all my life. One time, I think I tried to puff at it just to see what, I threw the thing away. Never had a drink, you know, and all these things. But, you know, none of those things saved me. None of those things gave me the new birth experience. And in that, on that day, they were talking to us more about the new birth experience, not so much salvation. They call it salvation, but they say it's a new birth experience. You're going to experience something new today. And we're going to walk out your salvation, you know, but today you will experience the new birth. Huh? My goodness. So I experienced the new birth and I found that something was actually new. So my challenge to you today is this. Has there been a shift in your life? Not a religious shift, but sometimes even a shift from religion. I was a religious person. Mine was actually a shift from religion, you know, to the knowledge of the new birth. I didn't know what it meant. My dad never taught me that. We just, you know, we prayed, we did all these things. But that day it became very clear that this was something I had to do for myself. And I did. I didn't know all the things I know now about salvation, but I experienced that new birth, and nobody can take that away from me. Something I experienced. And later on, I had to work out my salvation through discipleship and many lessons. And later on, lessons, you know, they kept going back to, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, sin shall not have dominion over you. Kept telling us things out of Romans 5, Romans 6, you know, you cannot live the life of sin anymore. Hammered that into our heads back in those days in scripture, you know. And I thank God for that foundation. Today, we're not hammering these things to the heads of people that we're trying to bring into salvation. It looks like many times we're concerned only about the numbers. How many people did we win to Christ? Well, are you sure that they are born again just because they say a few words? We got to tell them about repenting. This is a message of born again. You got to repent. If something's going to happen to you, you know, something's going to happen to you when you are born again, and you're going to know it. Now, so I invite anybody that's listening to this today, and there's only one way too. I don't care if you're in Judaism, Islam, Hindu, or following Christianity or whatever. There is only one way. None of those religions, not even Christianity. Christianity is close because they'll punch you to Christ if they teach it right. But that religion alone, without Christ, is not going to save anybody. The only thing that's going to save you is to be born again. Well, you were born into a Christian family. Perhaps that doesn't save you. You got to be born again. You know, born again of the Spirit this time. You were born of flesh. Now you got to be born of the Spirit. And you got to repent. Now, how do you know? What are the fruits of being born again? How do you know? You know, this is how I know. I'm going to give you a testimony. Number one, like I told you, some of those desires just went away. And then there was a desire through teaching. You know, these teachings that, look, you got to be new, a new person. You're a new vessel now. You're a new person. All things are passed away. Constantly hammering, sin shall not have dominion over you. Realize that, look, can't do those things anymore. And I had to make a choice. You know, make a choice. And I began to see and realize that, look, I don't have those desires anymore. Those things don't, you know, I don't desire. And I started desiring to please the Lord. Not that I was perfect. I didn't know what it perfect even meant. But I knew that, look, I can't live a life of sin. And I was also taught, we were also taught that all unrighteousness is sin. You know, unrighteousness is sin already. So, we began to say, well, how do you live a life that is not sinful anymore? Well, I couldn't do it in the flesh. Later on, I would learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thankfully, I found another way to hear about that. The scripture, you know, back in those days didn't actually believe in a separate experience of baptism. See? So that brings me to baptism of the Holy Spirit. That brings me to another point. You know, some teachings that you are following may have some truth, but not all the truth. Now, the scripture, you know, they did some good in my life, but not everything. They were the ones that led me to Christ. But they also taught that once you are saved, you've got the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing as this other experience with the Holy Ghost. You know, they were wrong, dead wrong. Because not only did I experience the born again birth, I also experienced the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you that testimony. A real experience. Just like the new birth, it was a real experience. If you are baptized in water, it's a real experience. You go into water, you can't come out and say, if I heard, okay, what day were you baptized in water? You may not know the day, but you will know if you were. Not that somebody sprinkled water on your head as a baby. That one you will never know because you were not even conscious of it. But if you were baptized when you were cognizant, you knew about it. You knew it was his experience. The same thing if you are baptized by the Spirit of God, you would know. It's not a guesswork that you'll be thinking, oh, maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. You would know. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit also helped me to become the person that I am today. You know, and whereas there was a change when I was born again, there was an astronomical change when I received the Holy Spirit. It was like night and day. There were some things I was still struggling, I was a believer, but still struggling in my mind. Holy Spirit, you know, it came in, gave me power. And I was bold into two. And so many other things. We'll talk about that later, some other day. But today, I want to focus on this being born again experience. For you to enter into the kingdom of God, you can't do it if you're not born again. And what is this kingdom of God? Well, Jesus began to talk about it, send his disciples out to talk about it. This is a kingdom where God reigns. You know, the kingdom of heaven is also where, you know, heaven reigns. Now, kingdom of heaven doesn't mean necessarily that the place is in heaven, because Jesus himself said he's standing right here on earth and he's in heaven. So you can see that if you're talking about the kingdom of heaven, looking for it as something that was not physically here, that may not be accurate, because Jesus said, I'm here and I'm in heaven. Now, on the other hand, when you're talking about kingdom of God, what does it mean? If the kingdom of heaven means that the place is in heaven, does the kingdom of God mean that it is in God? Well, in a way, yeah, because everything is really in God. But it is the kingdom. This is the ruling authority that we're talking about here. The republic of the country that you are in, you know, they have a territory. And God has a territory too. But the place where God reigns from is called heaven. Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. Now, that heaven and earth, they conjunct when a man is born again. That's it. When you're born again, heaven and earth become one. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 8. It says, it shows you how similar to what Jesus was talking about, the deeper understanding of it. When he was saying, if you're not born again, you can't enter in. Well, Isaiah 45 verse 8 shows you the conjunction of heaven and earth in order to make salvation happen. The heavens will drop down, the earth will open up, spring forth together, and cause salvation to happen. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 45 and 8. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them, earth is only one thing. So when he's talking about them here, that means heaven and earth. Let them bring forth salvation. Heaven and earth, you know, conjunct to bring salvation. That's it. You know, and you can say when you are saved and born again, like Jesus, I'm here, but I'm in heaven. That's what Jesus was introducing. Standing right here, but also in heaven. When you yourself, you are born again by the Spirit of God into the kingdom of heaven, you'll be on earth. But you'll be in heaven also at the same time. Now, heaven and earth, let them walk together to bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together by this conjuncting of heaven. You hear about heaven, and then you know that your ways on earth must be turned to the culture of heaven. That's what repentance is. Yeah. That's what happens in the kingdom. The king must exert his will on the citizens, you know, and make the citizens in, you know, take on his culture and what he wants. That's what happens in the kingdom, not a democracy where everybody's arguing and debating stuff. You know, the kingdom, the king determines what happens. What he says goes. The word of the king is law. That's it. It's not debate. It's not Congress. It's none of those things. He says it and that's it. It's final. And his officers, the king's officers, they are, that's his cabinet, you know, in another place. But these king's officers are to bring forth his culture and his will. Make the people align to it. Your officers shall be salvation. Your exactors shall be righteousness in the kingdom. You know, that's what they do. What God wants us to do when we come into the kingdom is take on his culture. In the kingdom, the citizens must take on the culture. The will of the king is supreme. And the agents, the officers that God put in this kingdom, their role is also to make, bring in everlasting righteousness. Adam was supposed to do that. Bring in, colonize the earth, come into alignment with the ways of heaven. That's right. And so heaven and earth always working together to bring forth salvation. You hear it? Message about heaven. And we must come in alignment to bring forth real salvation. Salvation, therefore, is deliverance from the consequences of the disobedience that entered into the world, and the, I mean, all the things that entered into the world from disobedience of Adam till today, bringing us back into alignment. You know, people who are quote unquote saved. What are they saved from? They're saved from that wrath. Because, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 also says the wages of sin are death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. These wages, the sentence of death, spiritual death, is upon every one of us. You're saved from that when you're born again. You're now in the kingdom. You're now a child of God. Something new has happened. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then you begin to learn more about the kingdom of God. You begin to discover more about the kingdom. You will not find out everything about the kingdom the first day that you are born again. You have only just entered in. And that's the way I explain it to people. The born again experience is your door into the kingdom. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. But after you are in the kingdom, you have to make a lot of discovery. Because the kingdom is very vast. So people are still discovering. Till today, we're still, I myself, after many years, I'm still discovering many things. Some of the things that I've discovered, I'm trying to share with people. Things that have taken me years to discover. You can learn it by listening to some of my teachings in a couple of hours. See, that's the thing. It's a quantum leap. It took me years to figure it out. I share it to you in less than 2 hours. You know, and you can learn it. You know, so But it took years to discover it. You know, so I like this analogy that I always give. You go to Magic Kingdom. It's actually even called Kingdom. That's why I like it. The one in Orlando is called that. You know, Disney World, Magic Kingdom, and so forth. You go to, you know, Disneyland. And they also have Magic Kingdom there. So, I mean, you go in there. You pay the fees. You enter through the turnstiles. You're in the kingdom. But if you stay there and do nothing for the whole day and then leave, you have learned or experienced nothing. You entered in, but you experienced nothing. So when you enter in at the door, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Once you enter in, you are now in the kingdom. But there's a lot of discovery. You got to go check out all those things inside the kingdom. They take you hours. I'm talking about the physical Magic Kingdom now. And you pay the fee and you enter. And you stand at the door and do nothing all day. You haven't discovered anything. You got to go discover all those things. You know? And it can take you hours and hours. Sometimes you can't even do it in a day. It takes some people some weeks. I mean, a whole week sometimes. You can purchase a week pass. It'll take you days to discover those things. And the lines are long in some of those, you know, events and things, you know, go through. And say, wow, I didn't know this was there. You come back some other time, you find out, oh, I didn't even know this was there. Well, that's discovery. It's the same thing in the kingdom. Just because you're born again doesn't mean you know everything. Well, you know one thing, and that's for sure. You are now a child of God. You are born again. See, you were born of the flesh before, but now according to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15, he said, all the families in heaven, they are named by the name of Jesus Christ. Your new last name, that's right, you got it, you heard it from me. When you are born again, you have a new spiritual last name. That's right. The name of Jesus. Read it for yourself in Ephesians 3 and 15. It said, by him, all the families in heaven are named. They're named after him. So, you know, that's it. Let's read this. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth, that conjunction is there again, is named. Name after Christ. That's your new last name. Glory to God. You know, one time Jesus said, I and my Father are one. John 10 and 30. And they tried to take up stones because, you know, you cannot say that you are like that. That's blasphemy. That's what they thought. But Jesus said it and he wasn't blaspheming and he was right. And he said, look, the scriptures call you people gods. That's Psalm 82. And if the scripture calls you that, and the scripture cannot be broken, how do you think I'm blaspheming because I call myself the Son of God? Now, this is what happens to you when you become a child of God. You can say what Christ said. I and my Father are one. We are now one with the Spirit of God. Now, that sounds like blasphemy, but it is the truth. You are now a child of God. If you are a Son of God, that makes you God. That's what the Jews were trying to kill Christ for. If you say you're a Son of God, why is it that you being a man calling yourself God? All he said was, I'm Son of God. That's all he said. You know, and they said no. And they wanted to kill him. He said, what are you trying to kill me for? You know, he said, well, we're not trying to kill you for the good works that you did, but because you being a man make yourself God. How do I make myself God? Well, because you call yourself the Son of God. So ladies and gentlemen, this is powerful stuff. When you become a child of God through being born again, you are taking on the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, you now take on the divine nature. There are many promises to help you to do that. promises of the Holy Spirit. And that's where it all starts. That's how you can get the divine nature. After you experience the new birth, you know, of course, the Holy Spirit is what brings you into that new birth. You're born of the Spirit. He's going to teach you how you can be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, a new child, a newborn child must be breastfed by the mother and so on and so forth, so that they can grow. As newborn babes, you must desire the sincere milk of the word. And that's how you grow. The Holy Spirit begins to teach you. Today, I want you to examine yourself and see whether you have been born again. Do you have recollection that you at any time experienced that? Or have you just been going through the motions? Well, the good news is, doesn't matter how long you've been going through the motions. I was going through it for 17 years before I finally figured it out. And a lot of people are going through it, you know. And many people are still going through it without really figuring out who Christ is. Some of his disciples, they didn't even figure it out. You know, one time Philip asked Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 8, say, show us the Father. He's always telling us about the Father and Father, Father, Father. Just show us. And that'll be fine. And Jesus said, wow, all this time you have been with me, Philip, and yet you don't know who I am. Well, that's it. That's it right there. Many people come to platforms such as this, go to church, do all these things, but you really don't know who Christ really is for yourself. See, so this is part of the discovery. You know, you got to discover. It begins, though, with a new birth experience. Anything that you are and attained or received or acquired before you were born again, you did not get it in the kingdom. Because Jesus said the born again experience is the doorway into the kingdom. So whatever you did, good or bad, before you were born again was not part of the kingdom. When you are born again into the kingdom, your new life starts. Glory to God. Now, so, and the ways that we do things in the kingdom are very different. The rules in the kingdom are different than when you were not in the kingdom. Today, I'm going to invite anybody that's in this room today, or anybody hearing this message later on. It's very simple. I try to make it simple. Didn't use any great swelling words. Just made it simple. You must be born again. The born again experience starts with you hearing the gospel such as this. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You cannot be saved by religious rites or rituals. You cannot be saved by music. You cannot be saved by anything else. You can only be saved by the gospel such as this. And what is the gospel? Gospel says you must repent. You know, part of the gospel says, they say, well, what must we do? Say, repent. Believe the gospel. Be converted. Receive the Holy Ghost. And these are things. You can't learn it all in one day, but take the first step. First step is you must repent. Oh, well, how do I repent? Well, repent is a 180. It's just that simple. Why do I need to repent? Well, you may not think you need to repent if you are thinking of your own self-righteousness. Self-righteous people don't think they need to repent. Because they say, well, I'm good. I do these things. You know, I go to church. I fast twice a week. I give alms to this. I sing in the choir. I do this. I do that. Well, maybe you're self-righteous. Maybe you think you don't need to repent. But all those things don't qualify. The only thing that qualifies is the being born again. And you must experience it for yourself. Do you mean I have to enter into my mother's womb in order to be born the second time? Jesus said no. But you'll be born by the Spirit of God. Well, how then must I be born by the Spirit of God? Will the Spirit of God be pregnant with me to bring me forth? Well, yeah. if you want to think of it in those terms. But it is a work of salvation, the greatest miracle. Nobody really understands how it happens. See, that's why Jesus said, as you see the wind going, I mean, you can't really see the wind, you just see the effect of it. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nobody can tell how it really happens. But it happens. But when it happens, then you can see the effect of it, just like the wind. Then you can see the effect. Then you can now see the change in your life. By their fruit, you can see, you know that. We can see that you have changed. You used to curse, you used to be angry, you used to be bitter, you don't have forgiveness in your heart. When you are born again, you change. Now you can forgive. People who cannot forgive, I doubt if they are born again. They can't. You don't forgive. They go to church all day long. Maybe they're able to speak in tongues. If they cannot forgive, because these are the traits, this is the nature of God. You know, say you must forgive. You can't obey God. You can't forgive. You can't release people. I mean, I don't know if you are really born again. If you are born again, Jesus taught his disciples, pray this prayer like this, or pray your prayer like this. Not recite his words, but pray after this manner. Forgive our trespasses, even as we forgive others. It is a requirement, as well as an expectation. It is even an assumption that you are forgiving others. Believer, you must forgive others. If you don't forgive, I don't really know. Because salvation itself, our salvation, is based on God's forgiveness for us. So, think again. If you have not been able to release people of the hurt that they did to you, maybe you're not truly born again. Now, you might have recited a few words, but maybe you have not really experienced it. You see, just reciting a few words, you know, doesn't make anybody. Jesus never said, say after me. You know, the disciples never said, say these words after me. But that's how we say it today. Just let people say a few words, you know, and then once they say those words, well, we say they are born again. Well, maybe and maybe not. You know, but it's something they have to experience. It's not, you know, we can be, the gospel can be preached to people, but you cannot coach people with a few words just to become saved. It's something they must experience. It may not be saying those words that will save them. Saying some few words doesn't save anybody. You know, but this is the formula we have come up with. You know, there is a different formula though in the Bible. You know, you must believe, Romans chapter 10. Believe in your heart, you know, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. Believe that God raised him from the dead, confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. But that's only the beginning. You've got to discover the nature of God. The promises of God, many of them in this word of God given unto us, that we might become partakers of the divine nature, according to 2 Peter chapter 1. We read that in verses 3 and so on. Given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, you know, that by these, you know, we become partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. So, today, examine yourself whether you've been born again. Now, if you have been born again, it's a definite experience. You may not be perfect yet, but through the process of discipleship, Jesus explained that in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. He said, no disciple is greater than the master, but every disciple that is perfect shall be like his master. So, Jesus defines perfection as the process of discipleship. And what is discipleship? You're learning from the master. That's right. How to become like the master. Apprentices, you know, that's what they do. They're learning from the master. They'll become like the master. Maybe they're going to be a tailor, seamstress, and all these things, you know. And then when they learn from the master, then they are certified. In Nigeria, we call it, they get their freedom, you know. So they are now trained like the master and go out to practice on their own. That's a process of discipleship. It takes a while to get there. You know, spiritual maturity is, you know, something that covers that evolving process, evolving, you know, changing from glory to glory, and becoming more and more like him. You're carrying along. You're not leaving anything behind. What you're learning, you're building on it. Add to your faith. Add to that. Add to that. You add it. It's a process, but it starts with repentance. We covered the subject of repentance earlier this week or so. Or maybe it was last week, I forget. But we got to repent and come to the Lord. Now, one good thing you have going for you if you are in this room today or hearing this message is that you are not far from the kingdom of God, because you're hearing it. The gospel is a key. We've talked about keys. Gospel is a key that points, opens the door for people to be able to get into the kingdom. It's the same thing as the new birth. You can't be born again unless you hear the gospel. Gospel is what teaches you how. By telling you that you must repent and you must ask for the grace of God to come into your life. For by grace you are saved. You can't be saved by your own works. You are saved by grace. And the grace of God, according to Titus 2 and 11, that brings salvation, has appeared unto all of us. And this same grace, your response to the grace of God is not that you shall continue in sin so that grace may abound. Of course not. Your response to the grace of God is that it will teach you how to deny ungodliness and to give up the old life. The grace of God will teach you that. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Will teach you those things. Deny ungodliness, deny worldly lust, begin to live righteously, soberly, godly in this present world. The gospel will also teach you to be looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel is packed with all that teaching. So that's the good news, that you are here today to hear it. And you are on this platform hearing it, so you are close to it. But you must make that decision. Make it for yourself today. I want to make no assumption that just because you have been coming to this platform, you've been coming to church, and that means you have experienced that new birth. I was going to church. I was doing certain things, but I wasn't saved. But when I was saved, I knew it. There was a difference. Praise God. Then when I received the Holy Spirit too, I knew it. There was power. Power for a new life. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to pray with you, and I want you to pray with me. And then after this, I'm going to ask for testimonies of salvation. You got to have it. You know, and if you are not able to speak verbally, I prefer you speak verbally. But if you're not able to speak, you can put it in the chat room. But you got to be ready. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. If somebody says, are you born again? Yeah. You got to be ready. And you got to be able to describe that birth experience. If you say, I don't know. Well, maybe, sometimes I ask people that question and say, well, I'm a Catholic. Well, you know, I'm a Protestant. Well, I'm a Pentecostal. Well, I'm not asking you that. Have you been born again? If you say you don't know, then you were not. It's that simple. You know, because if you were, you would know. You know, and it's not because you are Catholic, you are Pentecostal, you are Christian, you are this and that. No. Have you been born again? It's very simple. Born again people are the ones that enter into the kingdom. Not Catholics, not Protestants, not Christians. You know, people call them Christian because of the way they were behaving. It wasn't a title they put on their head. They call them Christians. These people are acting like Christ. So people call them. It was a label. It wasn't a title that they put on their head. Today we make it a title. I'm a Christian. So what does that mean? You know. So it's not that. It's have you been born again into God's kingdom? You know, when you are born, you are a child of somebody. Yeah, that's what the angel told Mary. He said, this thing that will be born of you will be the child of the highest. So when you are born again, you are a child of somebody who? Holy Spirit. You are born of His Spirit, just like Mary. In Mary's case, that child was born of His Spirit. So that child become a child of that Spirit. And that Spirit was the highest. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that only thing that should be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now, when you are born of the Spirit, you become also a child of God. Now, we use the label God's children, 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 children all the time. They are not God's children until they are born again by the Spirit of God. Now, it sounds good to say, well, we are all God's children, but it's not accurate. It's false doctrine. We're not all God's children. Well, God created all of us, but we're not all God's children. Some of you, Jesus said in John 8:44, says some of you are the children of your father, the devil. Jesus didn't call everybody God's children. He called some people the children of the devil. That's right. So not everybody are God's children. But those that have been born again, they are into the Spirit or by the Spirit of God. Then they are the children of God. That's right. Now, what must I do to be born again? Number one, you must repent. Why should I repent? Well, you must realize that you are condemned by the sin nature that you inherited from your fathers, Adam, down through the line. All have sinned and doomed. But thanks be unto God. Through Jesus Christ, we have redemption. What? When you come to God like that and say, Lord, now I know. See? That I've been a sinner all my life. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess and repent, whosoever hideth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh. That's repentance. You can't just say, I repent. Say, Father, it's been 3 months since my last confession. And then you come and the man says, well, I absorb you, blah, blah, blah. And then you go out, you do the same thing, you come back again. That's not repentance. You know, you must repent. God has no pleasure in dogs. A dog is something that returns to its vomit. It's disgusting. Dogs do that. And Jesus said, don't be like dogs. For outside the holy city, Revelation 21:8, are dogs. Dogs won't get in there. You know, people who return to their vomit, they're like that. Jesus will clean that up for you. Holy Spirit will do that. That's what you must do. I come. Say, come as you are. Come as you are. I come, Lord. I need you. I want to be born again into the kingdom. That's it. Now, today I am free of the blood of all men that listen on this platform. That's right. But now I've given it to you straight up. It's now in your hands. You can't say you didn't hear it. So now you heard it. And then something magical happens, which nobody can explain. I can't explain it. Nobody can explain. It's like the wind. Nobody can tell where it's going, coming. Something magical happens, but it happens. Then when it happens, when the wind has passed, then you see the effect of it. We begin to see the change in your life. Your family will see it. Your friends will see it. You yourself will see it. Then you know you're born again. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's in here hearing this today. I pray that they will understand it. And I pray for those that will listen to the replays. You may even share this message. I pray that you will share this message to your unsaved friends, your unsaved members of your family. Share this message with them. They must be born again. You yourself must be born again. They must be born again. Everybody must be born again. Otherwise, they can't enter in the kingdom. Now, Lord, give us the grace to understand this. And Lord, as many as will humble themselves today and repent and turn unto God, the Lord promises, say, I will forgive your sin. Glory to God. He has already made provision for that forgiveness through Christ. That's the only way. You know, there's no other way. No man can come unto the Father except by me, Jesus said. But if you come, I will in no wise cast you out. So come as you are. Thank you, Jesus. Come as you are today. Just as you are. Come to the Lord. Today, I pray that the Holy Spirit will impress this message deep into your heart. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. That he would impress this into your heart to believe the Lord. Just as I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I want you to come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come. Don't make any excuses. Don't make any pleas. Don't put forth your righteousness. Come as you are. Don't try to get all cleaned up before you come. Come. He's the one that's going to clean you up. Come as you are. Come to the cleansing floor. Today, there's a fountain flowing free. The water and the blood came out of his side when they punctured him with a spear while he was on the cross for you and for me. If you will, with your heart, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today that God sent his son into this world to die for my sins. If you receive that knowledge into your heart today and you confess it with your mouth that I know he died and he rose again for me, you confess it and you're not shy away from it, you will be saved. Once you're saved, you're born again. You receive a magical experience. You're in the kingdom. The journey of discovery begins. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for everyone that is here. And everyone that has this witness in themselves that they have become a child of God. Don't let the devil ever steal it from you. It's an accuser of the brethren. We'll try to tell you, well, you can't say you are saved. Well, of course you are. Because you know that you know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Now, if there's anybody in this room today, if you are in the audience and you want to experience this new birth, or you are on stage, it doesn't matter. Put your name in the chat or raise your hand or do something. You know, this is like, it's hard to do an altar call on the rooms such as this because they're not even there in person. But you can raise your hand. You can put your name in the chat room. If you have an unsaved family member, put their name in the chat room. I'm going to pray over those names today. Hallelujah. Maybe your own name too. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't stand up to be counted, if you are ashamed of me, Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you stand up to be counted today, hallelujah. You know, don't be like Philip. After many years of hanging out with Jesus, you still don't know who he is. Well, you can know it today. Take that step of faith today. Say, Lord, help me. I come as I am. I have no plea, nothing but your righteousness. I want to receive this new birth experience. I want to experience it myself. Ha, show me what it means. Help me, Lord. I can't do it on my own. If you pray this prayer sincerely in any combination of the words, you don't have to repeat some words that I repeat. You pray this prayer sincerely from your heart. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will receive salvation today. Praise the Lord. You know, I invite you, put your name in the chat room, raise your hand, put the name of your loved ones in the chat room. Praise the Lord. They will be saved. I'm going to pray today. You say, well, I thought these people are all believers. Well, maybe so, but Holy Spirit said, speak on these things today. And I have no choice. I listen to what he says. Speak on this. If only one soul is saved today, by listening to this message, or if only one person that you send this message to later, they see, oh, they see how we break it down, and they realize that that's what it's all about. There's no mystery. I mean, it's not so strange. And if they give their life to Christ, then it's worth it all. One soul that is saved is worth everything. Well, I pray for these names that we see here on this platform today. It equates to raising of a hand. It equates to you standing both for yourself and for somebody else. And I pray for all these names. Let these names be on record today. Glory to God that the Lord called them and we're standing in the gap for them. And make it known to them. Share this message with them and continue to pray for them as well. And sometimes they may say they don't want to know. They may be obstinate at first. But God's going to get a hold of them because you are praying for them. See, you are praying for them. It may be your family member. It may be a sibling. It may be a child. It may be a grandchild. It may even be your parent. Some people have unsaved parents. It may be a friend at work or somebody close to you or somebody you know. Praise God. Salvation is full. I'm free. There's no need for any penance. Jesus paid that price already. Just come as you are today. Now, for all these names, Lord, that are in this place today, somebody said my landlord. Another person wrote a name, Banji, Destiny, Michael, Idowu, Tessie, Isabella, John, all these people, Emanuela, Fatima, Daniel, and somebody listed a whole bunch of people. Maybe all their family, maybe all their friends. They put everything here. Large list. In the name of Jesus, all of them, you know, that are here. Calvin. Somebody said my dad. Somebody said Alicia. And, you know, Damola. And, you know, Keanu. And all these people. I can't, you know, there's so many lists. Every one of them, I cover these names from Life of Michael. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. Today, this March 21st, 2026, I cover all these names today in the blood of Jesus Christ for salvation. Hallelujah. Because if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what's it going to do him any good? All these people, we want them to be saved. We pray that they will be saved. And they will be saved. They need to see a change in your life too. Hallelujah. When they see it, it will speak to them. It's undeniable. you know, salvation, the new birth is undeniable because they will see a change. So can't deny it. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, all these people that were laid before you today, we put their names under the blood of Jesus and on the cross with Christ, that they also may experience this that we have experienced, to be crucified with Christ and to be risen again with him at the operation of the faith of God, to bring them into new life in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, open their eyes that they may experience the light, because their eyes are in darkness, and God must open their eyes. God must put instruction in their heart that they may believe in Christ. Lord, I bind the power of darkness, the power of psychology and many things in the lives of some of these people, you know, that could cause their eyes to be blinded. Open their eyes, Lord. Turn their heart away from the things of darkness to the things of light. In the name of Jesus, bring salvation to homes and families, even on today, in the name of Jesus. Let it be said that this platform has received the work of heaven and earth together today. Drop down, ye heavens. Open up, ye earth. Conjunct together to bring forth salvation in the lives of the people that are here and listed in here today, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give the Lord the praise and give the Lord the glory. I say amen for the salvation of every name that has been put on this platform today, in the name of Jesus. Before these people leave the earth, the Lord will preserve their life. They will be saved. They will come in, and I don't even want them to be like the thief on the cross. You just have one moment. They will come in. They will live a life of fulfillment in Christ. Their lives also, in turn, will be testimonies for the Lord. Glory to God. Wherever they go, God will bring them into discipleship. Because today, the Bible says, one person has planted, another will water. Well, we may be planting today, or I may be watering, or God may be pulling in the harvest. Somebody has already watered. Somebody already planted. Holy Ghost is giving the increase today. We don't know whichever it is. But one way or another, these people will be saved today. Beginning today, they will experience this. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.